Welcome to Shattered Globes podcast series for Rashida Speaking. My name is Amber Montgomery, and I was the director of the show, and I'm here with an amazing guest and cast member, and I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself.
Hi there. I am Deanna Reed Foster. I play Jacqueline Spaulding in Rashida Speaking. I'm also an ensemble member of Shattered Globe. Go Shattered Globe.
So happy to be talking with you today, Deanna. It's been a minute since we've talked to each other at length.
Yeah.
So I just want to start the conversation with, you know, I know this, but a huge reason I signed on to this project was just Shattered Globe's history with the piece, but also you as an ensemble member also being excited to participate in it. So I just want to know what brought you to the play and why did you want to be a part of this process?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of a long story. So in 2013, I believe it was, I auditioned for Rashida Speaking when it was being produced at Rivendale. And Sandy Shinner was directing it. And Joel was alive then. And I auditioned for both of them. And they offered me the understudy role because Orr Jones was doing the Jacqueline Spaulding role. And I accepted it. But then, very close, honestly, to the time we were going to start rehearsals, I was made another offer that was too good for me to pass up. And so I didn't do the understudy role. And I really thought that I had burned a bridge. I was like, Sandy's never going to want to work with me again. And but lo and behold, that next year, Sandy offered me an audition for Millfire, which they were doing at Shattered Globe. And so that started my relationship with Sandy at Shattered Globe. And during that time, Sandy and Joe were really good friends. And so I would see Joe periodically, even directed one of his, another one of his plays in a reading. And Sandy had offered up, and Joe had as well, that he really would want me to do this show, that he really heard my voice. He thought I had a really good grasp of what the character who he wrote for. And I believe Sandy made him a promise. I don't want to misquote her, but I believe she made him a promise that Shattered Globe would produce it before he passed, and that I would be in the role. It was a bit of a during the pandemic, Shattered Globe was forced to look inward, right? Like a lot of historically white organizations, theaters in particular, were forced to look inward. And at the time, I was the only African-American in the ensemble. And so I held up the mirror. Let me just say that. I held up the mirror. And one of the things I lifted up in one of our ensemble meetings was that I had never had an opportunity to play a Black woman on stage in a Shattered Globe production. That all of the roles that I had played were not specifically written for Black women, and that I appreciated the push for colorblind casting, but don't you think I want to play a role that's written for me, right? That's written for someone who was me. And that really, I mean, I saw the shock and the horror on everyone's face when I said that. And I think that that really shook some things up in Shattered Globe and really made us look at ourselves in a way that we hadn't before, right? How insidious racism is that we don't even notice things like that, right? And so, and I think that that's what pushed this play towards the front of the line when it came time to start producing again. And so, and Joel had passed away, and so it's an ode to him. It is, and I've loved the play since 2013 when I auditioned for it. Loved it. There are very few plays that I read, and I tell my husband, "Read this, baby, read this," which he didn't. I should say, which now I guess I'm glad he didn't. But this was one of those. So yeah, it is. It is joy to be doing this right now and to be doing it in the climate that we're doing it in.
thank you for that context and perspective. I know you coming into this role, I've been saying for a long time, has felt like a really special thing. So just to know the history of that. So then moving into the process, I'm wondering if there's any specific moments or experiences that Jacqueline goes through in the story that you feel particularly resonated with you in your life, or felt that stands out to you as something that you really identify with or have seen a lot in your experience.
Yeah, one of the things would be being the only person of color and or the only Black person in a room of white people. And again, I'll go back to the pandemic, especially when George Floyd was murdered. There was a shift in me where I no longer had a desire to do that. I no longer had a desire to be the only person of color and or the only Black person in a sea of white. I just didn't want to do it anymore. So much so that I had a conversation with Sandy and was like, hey, so I know I've been a little ghost, right? I know y'all haven't seen me because I don't have a desire to put myself in a white space like that again. At least not right now. I don't have the bandwidth for that, right? I was angry. I was all of that, right? All of that that came with that murder. And so I've been now really intentional about when I put myself in white spaces. I've been really intentional, and it is not, I am not forced to do it, right? I know that I have the power to move and to leave and to not be there. And so when we started this process, I start feeling like these things, and I didn't know what it was. I would go home sometimes and be like, what is this? Because I would still be tense and stuff when I get home, when I would get home. And then I realized it is because the thing that I have purposed not to do, I have put myself in full force, right? Basically without an out, because Jacqueline don't really have an out in this, right? She don't feel like she does. Even if she does, she doesn't feel like she does. And that thing weighed on me in a way that I had not anticipated. And I believe I shared it in rehearsal one day when I just kind of had a breakdown. I was like, I have intentionally taken myself out of these positions. And now to feel confined into it and trapped into it again is a feeling I don't want, right? But I have to live for the honesty of Jacqueline right now. But it's a lot. That condescension and the slights and the thing that gets me, and I've been thinking about this recently, the racism, you know, we're not surprised by that anymore. That doesn't surprise Black people. Honestly, it surprises white people far more than it surprises Black people. We ain't surprised when we see racism. What?
No.
What irritates me and angers me is your disrespect of me, that you think I'm so stupid I don't see it. That is what really winds up getting my goat, if I can say it like that. That you think you're so much smarter than me that I don't even see what you're doing. And that's how I feel about the doctor. That's how I feel about Eileen. Like, you think I'm so naive, that I'm so stupid that I don't see what you're doing. Yeah. So that hits me in a real honest and pure place.
Did your sense of the play going into it change at all throughout the rehearsal process?
It did, because we had a fantabulous director. Listen, I will take this opportunity. I have said it to you, and now I will say it to whoever is listening here. Amber Montgomery is the truth. I came into this piece with notions, right? With things that I thought that Amber so carefully shifted. When I say carefully, I mean so carefully. You/she has a way of respecting the actor and collaborating with the actor in such a way that you never feel forced to do something. You never feel like you really don't even feel like she's asking you to do something. It's more like, let's try something. Right. And then she'll just like ask questions and make you start thinking. And it's just a really beautiful process. And so I started finding things that I did not know. Yeah, I did not know, period, when I came into it. I think most of the cast said, if not all of the cast, that first week or two, we said that the play is very deceiving on paper.
Yeah, it is.
What it requires emotionally, what it requires technically, right? It's very deceiving on paper. So, yeah, I learned a whole lot, had to shift a whole lot.
Thank you for your kind words. Mm-hmm. So, I'll add that this was incredibly difficult, and I was learning so much about what the play needed to be, just, listening and witnessing you all live and work through it. There's so much of this context and about this content that I don't, just in my own experience, haven't lived through in the same ways as you all. So it was a really amazing experience for me as a director. Even coming into this, I knew I was going to have to be actively learning from you all the whole time, and to really be comfortable in that in order to make something that felt authentic to all of us. So thank you for being so open and so generous the whole time. And we had to get through some humps, but they really wanted this to be something impactful. Why do you think people should come see this play in our final days or stream it? Why should they come?
Oh, I think so many reasons why, but one of the main reasons why, oh my goodness, there's so many, but I may have to say two. But the first reason why is something that you and I talked about. The fact that I am no longer interested in telling stories, especially about race, that puts people so far left and so far right, where the average person can't see themselves in the story, right? And so therefore you can just disregard it. And so I think this play does a very good job of not doing that. And
yeah,
I think it then causes all of us to be able to look at ourselves, to be able to question ourselves. There is no perfect character in this play. All of them are flawed. Right? All of them are flawed. It doesn't mean that they deserve to be mistreated, right? But they're all flawed. And so where do we see ourselves in these flawed people? And because it's easy to look on stage and be like what they shouldn't do and what they should do. But when you can see yourself there, then it's like, oh, well, then that means I shouldn't do that, right? And then, or I should do that. So that's one of the reasons why I think that people should come see it. So you can see some of the little things that you do that may be racist, right? Or some of the little things that you do that are lies, right?
Yeah.
That are not okay, even though culturally people may tell you that they are. Yeah, all of that. And so
I think I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no, go.
One thing I will share with you that I don't even think maybe you've heard as much of is one of my favorite of lesson learned or like response that I'm getting from folks seeing the play are a lot of the times from the people of color that come and see it. And they have such, I'm seeing it, they have such a hard time watching Jacqueline live in the first half of the play. Because we don't even realize how conditioned, you know, and I think this was even a conversation I had to have with you early. I mean, you know, early in the process, that we don't even realize how much we expect folks to be conforming in white spaces, how it makes us uncomfortable to see someone living a little outside of the box that was drawn for them, living in their truth. And what I love about those folks are the conversation that's coming from them after seeing it as well is, you know, just questioning our own expectations of each other and ourselves and like who deserves love. Always how we are seeing, we can't help but see you through their eyes. Because that's, you know, how, what we all were expected to do. And I think what Joel did so well is kind of set up this really ridiculous, like, I don't want to give anything away, but Eileen and Jacqueline, what Eileen is doing to Jacqueline and what Jacqueline is doing to Eileen are incomparable. But we live in a society where, you know, her just being and making her uncomfortable is worthy of, you know, death in some cases. And that's one of the things that has been exciting me most about people coming to see it and me being like, well, why did it make you uncomfortable? You
know? Yeah. And it's so many. Oh, it's so many. And it starts so many conversations. I love it. And people have been coming back to see it more than once because it's that intriguing, right? It's that interesting. Yeah. It's that, and that makes me happy. There's another reason that, again, you and I talked about, because I really used any and everything you offered me to be able to work off of you, too. One of the things that I think is a myth and a burden that Black women carry is that we don't feel, right? Because we usually have this kind of stern face. We are, you know, truth tellers a lot of times. You don't see us cry. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we are this force of nature that doesn't feel. And it's we as Black women know it's a defense mechanism, right? But the rest of the world doesn't know that. Unless you've had the privilege of a Black woman sharing that with you. And I think that this play does a beautiful, and I purposely lifted that up in my performance. So there are places in there where we see, no, I am not a robot. No, I am not hardened where I don't feel anything. I feel very deeply, but for my own sanity sometimes, I have to shut off that part of me. But I wanted people to see that we hurt just like everybody else, just like white women. I'll say it like that, that we hurt just like white women. And just because we don't use the tool of tears that white women have been taught to use makes our pain no less valid, right?
Yeah. And on that note, I think that's a really good place to pause. For those of you who are listening to this, thank you so much for spending some time with us to reflect on this play and this process. And if you haven't seen it yet, please, please go. If you have, thank you so much for supporting our work and Shattered Globe's work of keeping the good theater alive and telling stories that we haven't told before. Deanna, it was such a privilege to work with you. I know this isn't the end of that, but I'm so grateful to have been able to have this be one of my first projects back, and to be doing it with you.
Yes, I totally agree with that. totally agree with that. Thank you so much for all you give and all you gave in this show.